Thanks for joining us this week in the G&JB show. Last week we had a bit of an episode. Jack was a bit crook. How you feeling this week, Jacko?
Yeah, a bit better. A bit better. I think it's just that time of year, mate.
That's good, mate. That time of month? No dramas. What's been going on?
Not too much. Just had last week kind of relax a little bit off training since we peaked for states. And so I was successful in winning the state championship a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, just got sick the week after. I think I peaked and then just need that little bit of downtime, I think. And have my rest, which I've learned from in the past. If I try and push through, I end up even more sick. So
that's what happened last year at the Nationals too, didn't you? You got sick the week of the fights and we had to tell a few lies just to get through.
Yeah, I know. You just learn from your mistakes in the past. So just loaded up on vitamins, rested up, and back into training this week. Still feel a little bit like 50%, but I think we got like 3.5-4 weeks till Nationals, so it'll be good just to push on through there. It's better now than 2 weeks the path, I guess.
And look, you've had, how many fights this year so far?
I've had nine.
This year, so you've been active anyway. It's not as if you're losing much, so be all good.
Well, I haven't lost this year.
But what about this? Did you see Deontay Wilder's fucking right hand?
I did.
On the weekend.
I did.
Holy shit.
I didn't tune in and watch the fight live, but I ended up just watching the only 10 seconds I needed, I think. Like, he's unreal. Just explosive and so strong. Like, when he hits people, it's just unreal.
Mate, you know what's amazing to me? Every heavyweight fight that I see changes my fucking mind all the time. To me, like a year ago, it was Anthony Joshua. No one else.
Yeah.
Well, then Fury comes back, and to me, it's Fury, and I thought he beat Deontay Wilder comfortably, though then again, I thought he was dead in the last round as well. Or was it last round?
Yeah, last round.
Come up, defied the odds, especially against all these demons as well. That just makes the story even better. And then, so I thought Deontay Wilder was, he's more talked up, and then he comes out with that performance against Brazil and absolutely would have killed anybody in the world if it had hit them with that punch.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, who's the man? Who's the top heavyweight in the world?
I guess that's the question on the tip of everyone's tongues at the moment. I think, you got to think, Anthony Joshua's got four of the main belts. So he's got IBO, IBF, WBO, WBO. That's three.
So WBA, who's got WBA?
WBA as well, because he got that from Klitschko.
Yeah, right.
And then
so WBC is Wilder.
Wilder's got the WBC,
which
and
he was lucky to hold on to. But then again, he showed he's a real true player.
He stayed in the fight like just by two knockdowns. Really, I didn't really give him too much outside of that.
Yeah, that's right.
So you got to think the three kings at the moment of Fury, Wilder, Joshua.
That's right.
And then you've got people like,
mate,
Dillian White.
The next phase is amazing.
Yeah.
The next phase through.
Luis Ortiz. So you got to think of those people coming through as well. And even like Chisora still has a good crack.
Chisora's still alive.
He's
now you throw
Usyk
into
fights.
The mix.
Yeah, Alexander
Usyk, however you pronounce it, whatever it is.
So he was supposed to fight. Who was he supposed to fight? Povetkin.
Yes,
yeah. Povetkin.
Yeah.
And that didn't come through. I think he got injured. So, yeah, you know, like, it's exciting times for the heavyweight division,
mate,
I think.
Like, and then, like, you talk on, there's people, like, on the other hand, even probably next level down, we've got a former world champion in Lucas Brown with the White Rhino as well, Dave Allen.
Yep.
And then David Price as well, who could, look, on his day, if David Price doesn't get, he can outbox anybody.
Yeah.
On his day as well. Like, it is exciting, you know. And that's taken away, obviously, Jared Baby Miller and those guys as well. Not even putting those in that mix. So,
well, he got caught drug cheat, so
that's
can't do much about his situation.
Hopefully he's gone for good because
there's
no place.
I don't think we have room for that in our sport.
No, that's right.
It's dangerous enough as it is. Like, seeing KOs like Wilder's on the weekend and then you got people injecting stuff in their body just to make sure
to try and damage
hormones and stuff. Eh?
Well, like yourself, you were getting drug tested at 16 years old. Remember it in New Caledonia? Were you 16?
Yeah, I think so. But there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's just such a good thing to have in the sport. And like at amateur level, locally, we don't have enough, I don't think, testing to know. Like, you have good faith that people aren't doing it, but yeah. You never know, do you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's good. And I suppose moving on, after mentioning the local amateur level, what about the big news with IEBA losing their?
So that they're not have the rights to hold the event anymore. Or
apparently, like have that, you heard officially? Have you just read reports?
Reports, yeah, that they got stripped of running Tokyo 2020.
Oh no!
So I think they were looking for another organisation, like branching out to maybe like a WBC or someone like an organisation to run the thing, because they had investigations into IEBA and apparently there was corruption or some level of corruption.
As people have been saying for years anyway, to be honest.
You know, like I don't know too much about it. Yeah. And it leaves everyone on that Olympic pathway in a bit of a limbo, but I don't think you can think about it too much.
Yeah.
As an athlete, because I just need to have faith that it's going to
come for yourself, you just got to keep winning.
You just need to
win. And that's how you get there. You don't worry about the politics behind it. And I think that's a big message to everybody involved. Don't worry about what the decisions are. Don't you go, because you ain't going to change it.
Yeah.
You just got to, just as if IEBA were running the Olympics, you still have to worry about your performance. That's the only thing you can worry about.
Yeah, it's one step at a time at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
And just keep knocking down every pin in the way. Yeah.
As we keep saying, you know, like, Every day at this level here now, every day is a grand final. Every fight you have. Too many people look at, like, especially when they're boxing locally, oh, I've got this state championships and I've got so-and-so in the Australian championships. Well, you know what? You don't have an Australian championship unless you have a day one, and you get through day one and then you get through day two and then, you know, things go on. So I think sometimes people just look a little bit too far ahead and try and control that. Well, no, you just got to control what you do in each and every match.
Yeah. I remember being in like semi-finals before or quarter-finals and, you know, oh, well, I'm going to have so-and-so in the final. Or like you got to think, oh, like I'm going to have this person, or if he wins, I'll end up fighting him. And you've always said to me, no, if you don't win tonight, which is so simple, but as a fighter, you don't even think about it. You think, oh, I'm just going to beat him and that's who I'll get in the final. Well, as we know in boxing, and it doesn't always go to plan.
That's right,
just need to tick off one box at a time and push on.
It's like I say to a lot of kids as well, they're like, how do you eat an elephant? They go, what do you mean I can't eat an elephant? Well, you take one bite every day and you'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, and that's got to say, you got to think of your boxing career, one day at a time and you'll get there if your goal's big enough and you love it that much. So in your eyes, have you got any ideas what might happen? We haven't even really chatted about this before, but have you got any ideas what might happen with the Olympics, like your own mindset, what might happen with the Olympics?
Not too much. I haven't really thought too much into it. I'm just thinking as in, you just have good faith that the people that are employed to do those jobs and make those decisions make the right decisions.
Yeah.
And like at the end of the day, I've still just got to win locally. And,
that's right, yeah.
And I've got to get out of the country first. And whatever happens with that, I'm sure it'll end up all right. But
yeah.
Local level, I don't think there's corruption, but you see like poor decisions locally. Like I think you just got to have faith in the people in the jobs are doing the right thing, and like nine times out of ten they are. But I haven't experienced it at the international level of like the corruption
that they're talking about.
You always heard about it, but I've never, like they talk about the Irish team for the Rio 2016 games. Like we saw Katie Taylor, controversial decision, Michael Conlon, and then people like the O'Reilly. Was it O'Reilly? Michael O'Reilly? It was 75 from there. It got done for.
I can't remember that. No, I don't know that one.
Where he had dramas with his like protein shake or something.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and then a couple of the boys got caught betting on themselves or something as well. Yeah. So it was like a big shit show for the Irish team in Rio, but especially with the Conlon decision, like that got so much attention. With his interview and telling them it's corrupt and like
pulling
it's
the finger.
In the end, it kind of wasn't a bad result for him.
It's probably been the best thing he could do.
That promotion has been such a big thing, and I think he got a pretty good sign on fee when he signed a top rank.
Good top rank,
because
yeah.
he's massive.
Yeah, that's right. Well, speaking of Conlon, he has that rematch as a professional there, doesn't he?
So he's fighting the Russian boy. I'm not too sure you know his name there.
I know his name. I don't know if I can pronounce it. Vladimir Nikitin.
It's not bad. You've done well
there. It's not a bad. I'm not too Russian. But anyway.
So he's fighting him. He ended up getting the bronze in Rio.
Yes.
So they'll end up getting that rematch and... It looks like it's a pretty good show, and it's in Belfast, where Conlon's from. Can you imagine the crowd,
mate?
you'd be one lonely Russian that night.
I don't think any Russians are going to come out of the closet and support old mate on this fight night. They'll be pretending they're all Irish.
No,
it's going to be
a good fight. Though.
There'll be a lot of spirit because Conlon, you know, put all money aside, I reckon Conlon would find it for zero at the back of a gym where no one was watching.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, 100%. It'll be about, this fight will be
about his
passion.
Ego.
We might even see a different Conlon because he'll actually want to hurt the kid too, I would think.
Yeah, not just box him.
You know what I mean? He'll want to do
that.
A real job.
He said this has really got me up and I'm excited for this fight. I think he's got a bit of character about him too. Like, when he walks into an arena or, like,
I've seen
the Madison Square Garden shows he's been on and he has, like... You know, like when Paddy used to come out, the Irish just get behind their own and like kind of like Hatton when he used to come out as well. You know,
amazing. And like
they all sing their local folk songs and stuff.
Mate,
it's
amazing. I remember when we went to Dundalk with Paddy and Ford over there with Paddy Murphy, fair Irish name.
Paddy Murphy, yeah.
How about the other day I was trying to tag Paddy Murphy on Instagram? There was about 300,000 Paddy Murphys.
But he's not on there yet.
And he's not on there, so I couldn't make a decision.
He's big on Twitter, I think.
But when we went to Dundalk, it was an amazing experience. Like, the singing and the carrying. Like, they just really enjoy the fights. Like, mate, when Conlon faces this Russian over in Ireland, it's going to be amazing. The atmosphere will be, you know, amazing.
A hostile. It'll be a... good event too, I think, and I'm sure there'll be respect shown after it because it'll be a great fight. I think. Well, you got to think he's still like it's not as if it's an uneven match fight either. Like he's an Olympic bronze medalist, fought for the Russian team,
beat him already,
add all the animosity and the build up and. It's going to be a cracker. I really look forward to that.
Mate, I'd love to be the ring announcer announcing the fight after it's gone to a split decision.
Oh, mate. Can you imagine Conlon? Can you imagine the kickoff? Well, good on Frank Warren for putting that promotion on too. That's a big get.
Mate, there's some great promoters in England.
Britain at the moment. And Paul Barron bringing them both together.
Yeah, that's right.
Top Rank has signed Shakur Stevenson as well. So he was the silver medalist in that division at 56 in Rio as well. So you got to think there might be a Conlon Stevenson or a
there's some good opportunities
well.
There. Yep. But how about speaking of Top Rank and amateur boxing, great amateurs? What Top Rank are making moves on Australians now?
Yeah, I saw
Jason
that,
and Andrew Maloney and Daniel Lewis has only had one professional fight. Mate, this is amazing for opportunities for Australian boxers to have their foot in the door with leading promoters in the world. Like, mate, when does this happen? It doesn't happen that regularly, you know. And the Maloney boys, both of them, mate, I've known those guys since they were young. I'm probably 17 years old. They've always been, you know, great kids, similar to yourself, who have just worked really hard. From good homes and just they really deserve their opportunities and they're doing really you know they're kicking big goals at the moment. But to sign with Top Rank, and look, I don't know the deals, I haven't spoke to anybody about them, but I'm just seeing it on social media, everyone that they've signed. I don't know what deals Daniel Lewis has, but just to have that opportunity to be signed by Top Rank, you know you're going to get the right fights to take you to the next level.
It's just a good platform, isn't it?
Mate, you know there's none better. And obviously a Top Rank with ESPN, and then Tyson Fury just signed with ESPN as well.
I think he's done an ESPN deal, yeah. And I think that plays a big part in, like, you know, we're talking about the heavyweight fights before. I think, you know, the television network promoters, managers and whatnot have a big say in the fights.
Like, yeah.
It's not... I think if it was down to the fighters, we'd see the fights all the time, but... You know, it's also good to see them get the money they deserve, and because they're not in the sport forever, and
mate,
like if they can get like a little bit extra than what they,
mate, if you think if a boxer gets one great payday of $500,000, right? A boxer thinks he's made it forever. Yeah. Well, you know, there's that next level of millions, you know what I mean? But that's, you've got to be a super, super freakish. And to be honest, you're either Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, or Anthony Joshua.
Like ridiculous
money. But to get, especially for an Australian boy, to get one payday of $500,000,
yeah,
you made it. But just think about that. If you, if you're a rugby league player, you're getting 500 grand a season.
Or even
where our guys do 15, 20 years to get one $500,000 payday. Well, and you know what? Most don't get that.
If you're an accountant, over these years, you might as well have gone to uni, done your accounting, and then done, oh, I'm getting 80K a year now, or 60, 70, 80, you know. It's a long time. Like, how many years I've been boxing for 10 years and I've been paid, like amateur obviously, I've been paid twice. And I got $200 one night for a win, and I got 250 as well for a win.
So in 10 years...
I still don't have that money either. I spent it as soon as I got it.
Did you bank it?
No. I went straight out, I think.
But also, obviously, boxing, but how much have you spent?
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? As a coach and as an athlete...
Any income I get pretty much is for fuel for training.
General stuff.
Fuel to get around from training, and then if I have to get some food as well. Like, it's pretty skim. Like...
Yeah, it's tough. It'd be good. It'd be good to look. I know sort of England and those countries were at a similar level when there was no one getting paid until Audley Harrison came along in 2000 and won the Olympic gold super heavyweight gold medal in Sydney, and then money started coming in. Then Amir Khan, as a 17-year-old, got the silver medal at Athens.
Yeah.
Then more money. Then
and then we
people
saw
like Don Broadus, who we had over here, they started to get money because of those things.
Yeah.
But they say you've got to have that Olympic medal before the floodgates open, where it's a real catch-22, and you know you can't get money. You can't get money unless you've got an Olympic gold. But then again, you need money to get that Olympic gold. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's...
Or even just like local sponsors, I don't think it's a massive like attraction, amateur boxing. Like the pros, you know, you can go, all right, well, can you get a table to my show and come and watch me? And it's all like camera action. Where you come to like an amateur show, it's pretty basic.
Speaking of it,
despite like the odd few.
Yeah. So funny you speak about sponsorships. I've been thinking lately, and obviously we've been talking about it, and a few of the guys around the gym have been talking about sponsorships. Well, I see it all the time by boxers in Australia, obviously, because that's mainly my network, boxing people. Everybody just sort of, I've got this fight coming up, looking for sponsors. But I believe it's getting done wrong. Like, why would a business just give you money for no reason? When you're what I believe boxers and people on the sponsorship look at, I've got to realize, if you're getting represented by, if you're representing somebody as a sponsor, you have a job to do. You're really working for that sponsor. They're not just going to give you money. Nobody's going to give you money for no reason. So when I say with sponsorships, you've got to give. You've got to give the company something for them to be able to realize why you are worth investing into to be a sponsor. Otherwise, they will just put Facebook ads out there. They'll give... Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like with Instagram, too many people are just, I need a sponsor. I've got this fight coming up. Well, obviously, this fight coming up, I'm fighting Joe Bloggs down at the Mansfield Tavern or whatever. Well, no one in Australia sees it, knows about those fights. So it's not going to get massive media attraction. So first you've got to give something other. I think boxers in general have got to start thinking, what can I give? Is it personal? Can I give time to this business by, you know, working for their business is another way. Obviously I'm not going to be on the tools because that's not what helps me, but it's got to be a two-way street with sponsorship. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. Like obviously I got no sponsors really on board, but I have seen like lots of the people that do get sponsored. But it is kind of the same thing. I think more like having a big social media following is a big thing for some sponsors. Like,
yep.
I think that's more like product sponsors. Like,
yeah, that's right.
People that are selling maybe gloves or like protein shakes and stuff. I think that's more of a social media thing. But like, if you're talking like actual companies and corporations, like even my mum who works for a building company,
they
don't sponsor really, but they'll have people in for talks or like motivational speaking, just like life stories and how people deal with things. I guess you could offer something like that to a big company, because they're not going to get much out of, shout out to,
I'll give you $10,000 and you give me nothing back. You know what I mean? That's they're not going to invest in something like that, you know? Look, if they're your mates.
But I think a lot of that's a connection thing. Like, some people get really good sponsorships just because they know people, but that's credit to them because they're putting themselves out there.
That's right.
Like, I think being involved in like footy clubs and community services like that, I think it's a bit easier to network and find the right people.
No, I agree. I just think when people are looking for sponsors, they've got to realise, okay, why would people sponsor me? If I had money and I wanted to sponsor someone, you've got to put yourself on the other foot, I believe. You put your shoe on the other foot, I believe. When you're looking about, why would I sponsor this person? Look at yourself. Why would I sponsor you? What are you going to do for my business? And when you start realising that, you know, it's your money and you're not going to just throw it away on somebody for no reason, you've actually got to give back. If you want to be a sponsored athlete, I believe you've just got to give back maybe a lot more than what people are thinking of at the moment. There's no reason to sponsor somebody unless you're getting something out of it. Otherwise, I'll just advertise some other way, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's there to be done. You've just got to think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that's something I need to think about. I've never really chased that avenue, but because I've always thought about professional boxing and, like, when I turn pro,
that's right.
I want, like, you obviously need sponsors to come in and watch your fight, but... Yeah, I've never been one to like ask for things, or you know what I mean? But I think it's all about putting yourself out there, and maybe that stage will come. But yeah, I've always been like a bit, you know, it's hard to ask. You're taking someone's money.
Yeah.
Like really, like essentially, like what can I offer back? And I haven't felt in myself that I can offer too much outside of like, because I'm not representing a team or I'm not on the Australian squad at the moment, so it's hard for me. But I think once I get on the Australian team and start getting some accomplishments, like it's easier to go to someone and be like, this is what I've achieved.
Yeah.
Can you help me on my journey? And I can do this, this and this for you. You know what I mean?
In saying that, this is what I've achieved, but this is what I can do for you. So why should I sponsor you? You should sponsor me because I believe I can help your company in these ways.
Yeah.
It's a logo on a t-shirt does not cut it anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
it's not even interesting. You know, like that's why a lot of sponsors say, yeah, I can give you product. I can give you 15 t-shirts, training gear or stuff like that. Because to be honest, it doesn't cost them a lot of money. To give cash and just to pay somebody's expenses, they're actually not getting anything out of it unless they know they're comfortable.
But as you said, like it comes down to treating it like a job. And I've seen a lot of boxers, like even amateur boxers, that do a very good job of it.
Yeah, that's right.
And they treat it like a job. They're not silly on their social media. Like they're promoting the right, like their values and beliefs, and it's all like respectful.
Yeah, that's what it has to be. You know, you can't go using foul language on social media and then asking a professional person for you to represent them. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all, you know. So what else have we got next coming up? So we've had the Top Rank guys. Do you know what Daniel Lewis is doing? Has he got a fight coming up? Have you heard much about it?
I'm not too sure. I know he spent some time over in America sparring with Jacobs before their Canelo showdown.
Yep.
But outside of that, not too much, mate. I know, like, he got signed to Top Rank as well, so that's just a massive accomplishment for him.
Yeah, it's huge.
And good on him. He's a really good bloke and a hard worker, so it's good to see people doing well.
Yeah, it's good to see Will Tomlinson giving back to the boxing after having a successful career and doing the Wildfighter. Don't know too much about. I know Will, and it's good that he's given opportunities to guys like Jason Waitley, who's obviously a former Olympian, and getting those guys kick-started. Not sure where Wildfighter is going as far as the future, and like I like guys that sort of give back, and not just give back, but hopefully he can make a success out of it too, Will Tomlinson, you know.
He looks like he's really getting behind actual amateur talent.
Yeah, like, I like it. It's good.
A few of the boys he signed, like Aaron Spagnuolo, I think he's a world's representative.
Yeah.
There was the Blake Wells. Was that his name? Blake Wells from New South Wales.
Yeah, I don't know Blake.
I don't know him either, but I have seen him in the amateur system as well. Just good to see, like, well, obviously Jason Waitley as well.
Yeah.
Just people like that getting opportunities that were good amateurs and they need that platform. And Will's got obviously like a good following over the years, which is good to use his name to boost their profiles.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to see. And also former amateurs. In the super middleweight division, we've got Billy Joe Saunders. Obviously, do you think he's ruling it? Do you think he's the top dog of the super middleweights?
Nah.
What about the middles?
Well, I think he gives Canelo a run for his money.
Yeah, does he beat Golovkin?
I think he outboxes Golovkin.
I think he beats Golovkin.
I just think he's too slick.
Yeah.
He can kind of make the fight boring.
Yeah.
But he is very good at what he does. And he's got a little bit of pop.
Yeah.
Not like, maybe not at super middleweight, but at middleweight he's got some pop. And he's fought some, like, I know people say, oh, like, who's he fought? But he hasn't fought Canelo or Triple G, but he has said, I have signed the contracts for those fights, but it's never come through.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and I think he's got the attitude to really get in their head. Yeah, well, even if you look at, like, Jared Fletcher, Olympian from Australia, Andy Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Eubank.
Yeah.
Like, that's just off the top of my head. Yeah. But he's beaten some good boys, like, domestically and like Commonwealth level.
Yeah, that's right.
He's doing big things.
But
he reckons he's gone up to super middleweight to find.
So he reckons he can still go down. He can still fight middle or super middle.
He said, "I'll come to middleweight for a big fight, like for a Golovkin or a Canelo
Alvarez." Yeah. It's got to happen. Those fights have to happen. Is Golovkin still going?
He is.
We haven't heard
he's
much about him.
Signed a DAZN.
Oh, that's contract. Right. Yeah, DAZN contract.
And he's out of his. He's not with Abel Sanchez
anymore.
That's
right, not with,
trainer.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. He's obviously only going to come back for that, probably the Canelo fight, or...
Yeah, well, he'll probably need a fight before, so everyone goes away from it and then brings it back into a fight or two, you would think.
But I think Saunders at super middleweights, that's an interesting move. Like, you got to think he could beat... I don't know if he beats Callum Smith. I really rate Callum Smith.
Yeah, I know you like him. He is good, though.
He's so big, too, and he's a really
big
fundamentally
and good
boxer, yeah.
And can pop a bit too.
So, you know, Saunders mixes that up a bit.
Yeah.
And he's got that character to really get inside people's heads.
Mate.
Like, he could stir.
And you know what?
Even
more so, he's got the same trainer and trains alongside Tyson Fury now. So his attitude is going to go next level now. He'll believe in himself even more because, let's be honest, the Gypsy King, mate, no one backs himself more than him.
Yeah. Well, I think... I think that's a really good move. And that's another Frank Warren boy.
No, let's be honest, Frank Warren.
He's making some good fights. Like, he made Wilder Fury and
like
we've seen the Conlon fight we just talked about. He's doing well.
Did you see Fury's suit?
Yes, I did the other day with all the heavyweights on.
Yeah. It's excellent.
It's got a big character, eh?
It's like the Conor McGregor suit.
Yeah.
What did it say? Fuck you, didn't it?
Yeah.
pinstripes.
Pinstriped up. Yeah. But I think, Fury adds a bit of flavour to that heavyweight division, a bit of character and charisma. And, like, I think AJ's got a bit of that too, but
I think
the right
different.
People will bring it out of
I think they've all got that bit of character which people like, but it's different in all three of them. There's three real players in that division. But you know what? Can Dillian White,
I really like Dillian White, yeah. His attitude is next level as well, and he believes he can beat all those top boys. Like, he's beaten Joseph Parker, former world champion.
Lucas Brown, former WBA world champion.
Chisora twice.
And
that's
devastating. And well, he had AJ, all those have been great knockouts.
He had AJ like a little bit worried there, and like I think it was like the seventh round or something. Oh no, it might have been a bit earlier than that.
I think it was stopped in seven, was it?
Yeah, it was stopped. Like I think it was stopped in seven, but there was like a round in there where he wobbled AJ, and you like this is someone with limited amateur background.
Yeah,
coming to the pros, and he's still learning on the job, and he says that.
I like his attitude. He's got that real. He just backs himself and wants the big fights.
Yeah, and not scared of a big fight. But the difference with him is I think he doesn't need the AJ fight right now because he, like off his own bat, he can sell out Wembley.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
make good coin without AJ.
Jeez. Yeah, he was...
Where I think Wilder won't hit the big money unless it's with Joshua.
What about...
Or maybe Fury.
What about the left hook on Lucas?
On Lucas?
Brown.
With, that was with Chisora, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, no, Dylan White, sorry. Dylan White. Yeah. I was thinking of the Dave Allen fight.
Oh, that was a left hook to the body. That was a cracker.
Yeah. Yeah, Dylan White. And he holds his power, like, all the way through. Like, I think it was the last Chisora fight.
Yep.
I think he stopped him in the 11th. And, like, it was pretty even. Mm. Like, it was pretty both ways and just caught him. That might have even been a left hook as well.
Mate, he's a beast. And that, again, we've gone back to the heavyweight division, which we weren't supposed to. There, we were supposed to go the super middleweights, but Billy Joe Saunders obviously been with Tyson Fury. I think that helps them both because they're both similar characters, you know what I mean?
And
they can boost
styles,
each other. Yeah.
Like they're both real hit and miss. Oh, hit and don't get hit boxers.
Hit and miss.
Yeah.
I don't think they're that. But from Billy Joe Saunders, like, so you think he can challenge most super middleweights in the world?
Yes, I do. I
except for Smith.
Think? Yeah. Well, there's a good American bloke named Caleb Plant who's got the IBF title at the moment. He's fighting a guy called Mike Lee, who's another American.
Yeah, yeah.
That fight's coming up soon. I saw a press conference for it the other day. Caleb Plant's got a really good story too, but I think Saunders would be too much for him. Maybe a little bit too much movement, but it'd be a good fight.
But
I think Smith is probably the top dog there at the moment.
And you know what? There's the fact that he's a boxer mover, but the southpaw as well also always gives him another edge, and he knows how to use his southpaw advantage. You know what I mean?
He's really confident, and like I don't think him himself is like scared of any fight.
Yeah.
Most boxers at that level aren't. It's just, as we said before, getting the right fights and people putting pen to paper on a contract.
There's a few good middles / super middles going around. And what about in Australia? We've got a few good super middles. We've got Rowan Murdoch, Zach Dunn, Bilal Akaway, Jade Mitchell, super middle.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the, like, I think
the strongest division in the country as far as professionals.
I'd say so, yeah. I reckon there's some good boys there and... Yeah, hopefully they all get their opportunities. And
obviously,
I don't know too much about the middleweights.
Yeah, obviously, Rowan and Chris Carden are good friends of ours. We've done a lot of work with them. You've done a lot of sparring with Rowan, and obviously, obviously Hooper as well as those guys. Well, he's light heavy, but Rowan's a we've obviously known Rowan for quite a few years, and has he got? I think he's got a fight coming up in July?
July
coming up.
Back on the coast, so it's a bit of a homecoming.
And then you'd think Rowan would be sort of sniffing around those top few fights. Yeah, what is he ranked number 5-6? Is he at the moment?
And WBO, so that's the one. WBO Saunders just won.
And obviously with Mike Altamira as the manager, Mike can definitely make things happen.
It's good to see an Aussie boys getting that high up in the rankings, and definitely got the potential to go all the way.
And I saw. Did you watch Bilal's fight the other week?
I missed it. Saw the knockdown.
Yeah.
But one of the knockdowns and the stoppage. So.
Yeah. So look.
Unfortunate, but what a good achievement.
But he's still young. He's still young. He can come back. Yeah. No. I mean, and Bilal had a very limited amateur career as well.
I don't even think he had one.
Didn't he?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I just know it was. I didn't know if he had any or.
Yeah.
I
don't know him too well or know too much about his background, but I'm pretty sure he just went straight into the deep end.
So to learn on the go as a professional, it's it's a tough gig, and obviously but for him to step in there, I tell you what, his first two rounds he was good.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
he was good. He just got clipped with a southpaw right hook walking in, And then obviously it was over from there. But mate, his first two rounds, he was in that fight, and I thought he was going to come along, and you know, because he's got a good punch,
good work rate,
But obviously, come unstuck.
Like we were talking before about Saunders and like his accomplishments already, and he hasn't. Like he's beaten good boys as a like internationally, like American boys as well, but like just to get out of England and Europe alone is like a massive achievement.
Yeah.
And I just think like that John Ryder that Akaway fought, I think they're just on another level to us domestically.
Yeah.
Like for them, like even Callum Smith, like the people Callum Smith had to beat to get
like, well, to get like, out of Britain first.
People like Rocky Fielding and you know, like George Groves, they're all domestic boys, and then I think that comes back to their amateur system as well. They're so,
I think so, it's very,
it's
strong,
so competitive, and you're only a train ride away from like
anywhere.
Some of the best countries, or like a flight away, or an hour flight away from like some of the best countries.
The guys
in the
that
world.
Train in Marbella in Spain, what is it, an hour and a half on the plane from you know what I mean, from
even
Manchester
like
Airport or whatever.
Islands,
so.
Ireland's like a 40-minute plane
that's
ride
it.
Over, and
yeah, it's,
there's just so, like a massive pool of talent.
Yeah,
so local web. You got to think like us. We've got New Zealand, but then like we're not on the level that they're on, so we need to go like a 15, 16 hour plane ride
that's
to get
right,
anything
to go,
decent.
To get know? That next, to get that next.
Or
level.
Even America, people go to America because there's so much like depth there, like with professional sparring and whatnot. But
I haven't heard much about Chris Eubank at the moment. Have you?
No, I haven't. So what's?
So super middle.
So what, he just coming off the James DeGale win.
Oh yes, yes, that was a good win.
See, that's another domestic matchup that.
Yeah.
Like DeGale's a former Olympian
and
defended
world champion.
An IBF title how many times?
Yeah.
That's it's.
And that's
know,
local. That's a local fight.
And people
there.
call Eubank like a domestic level fighter, but he's like, he's world champion. IBO world champion.
Mate, the Brits at the moment, their domestic level fight is not far off world level. Mm. Where our domestic level fight, there's a gap.
There's a massive
gap. You know, there's
gap,
a big gap. There's a big gap between us and, you know.
Or there's a big gap between our top boy and like our number two or three.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And which also,
apart from probably that super middleweight, as we were talking about, I think there's a lot of depth in that division. But
yeah.
Like you see some of the other divisions, there's a big gap from your top elite level fighter to like a number two or three.
Geez, it'd be good to have an Australian super series at super middle.
Yeah, like I don't think is the money there for that though?
Again,
because
the guys
are you gonna
probably don't
give up your world ranking? Yeah.
That's what I mean, yeah. Whereas you go to Britain, you sell that's a 50,000 people venue.
Yeah.
You know, 50,000 crowd, we're here. We're lucky to get 1,200 people to watch those fights, you know, because it's only the boxing community that know the boxers.
Yeah. And they need the exposure. I don't blame any of them boys for not taking a big fight, because it's not really going to.
What are you going to do for $10,000 and get
the
you
only
know,
person
your brain
you'd, probably, you'd probably fight Jeff, because Jeff's got such a big.
Yeah, that's it. Jeff's got the big following,
and
the
he's
big
got a
name.
Big following, big name, you know, like.
Jeff had to jump into the fireplace, you know what I mean?
He's done it, yeah. But domestically, that'd be the only fight that'd get you ready, yeah.
Well, Chock and Jeff, look what that paid them. Mm. You know, you wouldn't get that fighting anybody else.
No.
And now Chock's done, Jeff's the only real name at that top level, which
and then maybe
exposure.
Tim Zoo might come through.
Yeah, let's hope he does.
He's established, like, his name, because his dad's got that name through Australian.
Did you watch
fans.
Tim Zoo last week?
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah.
Who did he fought? Joel Camilleri.
Camilleri.
Camilleri's a good fight.
Good fight. Good fight,
I
missed
it, yeah.
No, obviously I was down there, but that was a great fight. It was, you know,
pretty evenly matched.
A very good fight.
There's some good
so
fights
so awkward,
at that
Joel Camilleri. So awkward, and he used that to his advantage. It was it was a great performance by him.
Yep.
Tim is more of a boxer, where Camilleri is more of a scrapper, spoiler, that sort of style fighter. But you know, for Tim Zoo to go on to the next level, you know, you need to come across against all styles. You can't just box the same sort of style all the time.
Yeah.
And
I saw his Oz Boxing put up his like 5-fight plan, and it had like Camilleri, and then the name like Jeff Horn was
Jeff.
The end one.
Zarafa? Michael Zarafa.
And there was another Melbourne boy. Dwight Ritchie.
Oh, yeah, Dwight Ritchie.
See, that'd be a good fight.
He's a good fighter.
He is good. Yeah.
Mm.
So I rate him.
Did you spar him down there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you spar him? Yeah, 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 yeah. You did
he's
down
good.
There.
Yeah,
who was really who was the other guy you sparred down there? I can't remember
his name. He was a bit heavier. Yeah, I can't remember. But like from a good stable down there. Yeah. So yeah, he could cause an upset. He's decent.
Yeah, nice. And I don't think Dwight Ritchie had much of an amateur career either.
No, yeah, because he had like a few amateur or not a few pro fights before he turned 18.
That's right, yeah, they were no contests or whatever. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
But like he's really like 25-1 or something like.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's only young too, so that'd be a good fight. Zarafa even. He looked good against. I thought he looked pretty good against Cal Brook.
Yeah, he did good. You know, obviously.
Good work rate.
Like, he looked good. To be honest, Cal Brook wasn't his best that night, but Zarafa was in there for all money. You know what I mean? He was always alive in the fight, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, so there's some good fights at that weight for Tim Zhu and those boys amongst each other. And like it is good. I think the domestic level's starting to build up, but as we said, we're
I'll tell
probably
you what,
not
though, what we much. Need.
Yeah, we're still a big gap between us and Europe.
What, mate? We need one of our top boys to go give it a big nudge and get a good win overseas, though, to keep us alive. You know, keep it. You know, obviously Jeff did it with Manny, but we need. We need Rowan or Zach or Bilal or somebody to get that win overseas. You know what I mean?
I think Andrew Maloney might be the next bit to come through and do it.
Well, what about Jason? Jason was amazing, wasn't he, in his last fight?
See, I thought he had a really good crack. Yeah. I thought, I don't know if... I gave him the fight, but you know when you sit back and you're watching I'm watching
Jason. Am I watching Jason? Yeah, yeah.
And I'm wanting him to win. I thought he might have just pinched it.
Yeah.
But... at that level, maybe you've got to do a little bit more than just nudge it.
And then there's also Reagan as well. Reagan's coming through. He's doing excellent, you know.
Yeah. Thought he was unlucky in his last fight.
Yeah.
Very unlucky, actually.
Yeah, very unlucky. Now he's fighting for the Australian title.
But he seemed to have brushed it and just kept moving forward, which is such a good
He's a good kid. Obviously, we've all known Reagan for a while. He's a good kid. Good people around
him
at the moment.
Good coach as well. He's got a couple of boys coming through from state titles.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Yeah, David Hatfield.
He's doing good things. It's good to see him giving his knowledge back to
he's always been a good guy, as Reagan, you know, since he's a young kid, you know. So, yeah. What about the welterweights at the moment? There's a lot of talk. Pacquiao Thurman.
Yeah, see,
who wins? One word.
Thurman. Yeah.
Does he? Do you reckon Pacquiao? Yeah. I'm waiting for Pacquiao to fall off the edge now.
I think
at his age now, there's a day when I thought it was Jeff. I thought he was done after Jeff. Then he come back. He was amazing. Do you know what I mean? I thought he couldn't get after Jeff beat him. I thought Jeff had sort of finished it, but he come back. And remember, he fought amazing in his next fight.
He fought Broner.
Next
too.
Couple of fights. Is Pacquiao just going to fall off the edge now and
I
go,
think
or has he got a few more left in him?
I think Thurman's a different beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although he is coming off a lot of time off, so it's probably the best chance Pacquiao could have got to fight him. I think if he had fought him maybe like 2 years ago, Thurman would have been a different beast. Or if he fights Thurman in maybe another year, it'd be a different show. I think, Thurman. I think I got Thurman for that. You know, the only thing that's disappointing.
But
for
Will that be it for Pacquiao if Thurman wins? Is he done?
I don't know. He seems to bounce back all the time.
That's what I mean. After Jeff beat him. And I'm one of those people that legitimately still cannot see how that people fought Pacquiao
that's
won.
What I was
Jeff
about to
won
touch
that
on.
Fight 100 fucking percent
I
in
think
my mind.
What I was about to say is that it's so disappointing that Jeff beat Pacquiao, but like that win was taken away from him a bit overseas.
With all the bullshit. Yeah,
with
that's
all
right.
the shit. Like, and then you think, like, when Broner went to fight him, they were talking about, like, this is going to be the biggest thing. If I win, this is going to be the biggest thing that's ever happened to me and stuff. Like, why didn't that happen for Jeff?
Yeah,
that frustrates
right.
me a bit. Yeah. Or, like, Thurman will get the credit for beating Pacquiao, but Jeff did it,
it's like the
you
Aussie
know,
guy
2 years
gets
ago.
Pushed around the corner.
Yeah,
and they all forget about his name. You know Jeff's name's... Well, you see media and stuff. Jeff's name's rarely mentioned now because, to be honest, they don't want an Aussie involved.
I think so.
Like, they don't want an Aussie involved in the mix.
Yeah, and I don't know if they like his persona or the way he comes across very respectful and humble and nice, and Americans like that bit of showmanship.
Yeah, they like the gangster sort of life.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah. Which is annoying. Like, I think Jeff fair and square beat Pacquiao, oh,
100%.
And I watched it back. I thought, I don't know, 7 rounds to 5, yeah, maybe. Yeah, 8-4.
Yep, it was a definite Jeff Horn win.
But you can't just like, and then they give the argument of, oh, he got, Pacquiao was boxing and moving, and that's exactly what Floyd did to him. Or like, yeah, but Jeff, relentless Jeff brought pressure. The
fight, just he wanted
and one more. Probably bad, one really bad round.
Yeah,
the ninth, I think it was.
But he still had a set on his ass, did he? He stayed on his feet too.
He was out that round, but then he came back bouncing. And he had another good 3 or 4 yeah. rounds.
No,
yeah.
That was amazing.
I don't know. I think Thurman beats him, and then I think.
Who's the best welterweight in the world?
It's hard to look past Spence.
Mate, everyone
talks. I really like Crawford.
Yeah, everyone talks Crawford, and yes, he's great.
Yeah.
But I just think Errol Spence.
See, yeah, I'm probably more on the Crawford side. Just because of his. Like, I'm not saying Spence can't box, because yep. we saw that in his last fight, but I think Crawford just has an answer for everything.
But Thurman's also that, in that fight too. If you've well, got yeah, to put well, Thurman in that mix yeah. as well.
I've said in the past, I thought Thurman would beat Spence
yep.
on boxing ability, but then watching Spence's last fight.
What did you do to Garcia? I yeah, know it was a different
but,
weight.
But you could see that Garcia amateur pedigree Garcia. Come through.
Yeah,
you
that's
reckon
right.
that amateur like...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because like, he went to London.
He was so smart. He was so smart throughout the whole fight. Garcia didn't touch him.
But his jab early.
He fucking did not even touch him.
Yeah, and then... Well, then there's the other Garcia, Danny Garcia.
Yep.
On his day, he can beat any of them
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's...
I think he's good. Probably... I think he beats... Maybe could beat Thurman. I don't know if he could beat Crawford or Spence. I think they're too big.
What? Are Khan and Brooks still alive, or are they done?
I think that fight will always sell.
They fight
sell
each other
overseas.
And that's it?
Yeah, I think that fight will always sell.
Yeah. It's probably got to be their final outing because, look, I think for Kell Brook to still stay alive in that top mix, I think he really needs a great performance.
I think
Amir Khan's probably got one fight, and it's the Brook fight left in him, to be honest. You know how much I love Amir Khan and those yeah. guys and Kell Brook, but I think Amir's done after that last fight. I think he's yeah. done.
Yeah, I reckon the Brook Khan fight will always sell because there's
it'll fight because it'll sell yeah definitely
people in like the English fans will spend $100 for a ticket for that, and they've been waiting for it for so long. It's just annoying that it's come at this time and maybe not 3, 4, 5 years ago.
You get Sheffield versus Bolton, mate. That's an amazing fight over there.
Who wins that?
It's huge. Oh, the fight.
And say
the fight in the crowd or the fight.
Yeah. we'll say that fight.
Mate, I think Brook beats him now.
At welter,
I
though.
I never thought Brook beats him at welter. I just think Amir's done.
But then they reckon Kell Brook can hardly make welter as well.
What was Brook's last fight against Zarafa? It must have been
that
junior
was,
middle.
Yeah, junior or super welter, whatever.
I don't know. Look, they're both similar-sized guys, aren't they?
I reckon Khan looks huge.
Oh, yeah. Mate, you...
Khan's like whole upper body is massive. He's a big boy.
I'm not... I just think Khan's had his day now. After that last fight, that's when I thought he'd just done.
But do you think...
I always thought Amir Khan was the one with the style to beat Floyd Mayweather. Always. And I'll still stay back in the day. You look at Amir now and it's a different story. But back in the day, I reckon, 4 years ago, I think Amir Khan's style is the one that upsets. Whether he beats him, I don't know. But I think he upsets Floyd Mayweather for
just
a lot longer
speed,
than a lot of other styles do. When he was
and work rate too.
In and out, working constantly, I thought he did, yeah.
And like as we saw, Floyd's like power decrease as he went up in weight too. So like at welterweight, you got to think
that's
Khan
right.
would have been a good shot there. But then again, Floyd is incredible and always had that ability to adapt early.
Yeah.
Like even in that Maidana fight, he probably lost maybe the first 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And then he just finds a way to win.
Yeah.
He just know, all right, well, this is what I got to do. And then the second one was hardly a contest. Like he just knew
right.
exactly what I had to do from the start. So, I think that Khan Brook fight, get it last big payday, and it'll be good to
fight.
send off for whoever wins.
Mate, it'll be good for a lot of local boys, like from both sort of both counties or wherever they're from, both cities to box on the undercard well, there
they're
as
both,
well.
Yeah, they're both match rooms. So.
You know, so, yeah, it'll be
there's some good Sheffield.
They don't need
well.
Massive names for the undercard to sell that fight. It will give a lot of good opportunity for guys, which new guys coming through.
And
obviously,
you'll need
a solid semi-main.
Yeah.
But you'll get some local guys good, and that'll be amazing for the communities as well over there. So.
Well, Matchroom seemed to do that. They put like that Joe Cordina and Anthony Fowler, Lawrence Okoli, you know, all those boys that are just coming through.
Hey, you know what? When we're talking about that, the undercards... We're talking about heavyweights. There's also the next level too. Probably on that, we missed a few British guys out. Daniel Dubois.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I know him.
Nathan Gorman.
He's a
Hatton boy.
Yep.
They're on that Lucas Brown, David Allen, David Price level, I believe, at the moment. And I think they're fighting
I think Price is probably a step above that.
Yeah, saying that, he's been hit on the chin a couple of times. That's why they're in the fight. It's heavyweight boxing,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah, for sure. And all right, cool. Let's wrap it up, hey?
Let's do it.
I thought good chat today, Jacko. We will be back next week. We'll have a guest on the show next week. We'll let you know more in the coming days who that guest is going to be. But look forward to chat with you next week.
Thanks again, G.